fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jaron Moore here, our third hour on Wednesday, the 7th day of September. The prepper tip today is to work on your physical fitness. That would be aerobic strength, anaerobic strength, your ability to be flexible. If you have issues, health issues, be sure and check with your healthcare provider before you do anything strenuous. We have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest more than 36 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. He is the author of 6 books for sale at Amazon.com, which I urge you to get and read. His website is jrnyquist.blog, where you'll find typically 1 or 2 new articles a week. And Jeff, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, we already have a regular caller here from, I think, about 6 time zones away from where I am. We have Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. It's about 7 from Central. Mr. Nyquist, I'm at... I hope you can hear me.
Your audio was gone on my end for a moment. Please begin again there, Thomas.
All right. Yes. I'm asking for your comment, Mr. Nyquist. So after your remarks yesterday, I was thinking the following. So that basically, you know, I'm really new to the work of historians. And yesterday you said, you know, the conspiracy is a communist one. And then another caller said, you know, but there's the controlled press and we don't know things. And then you said, you know, okay, but, you know, you can study things and figure things out. There's more and more lying in the media, but if you know history and you understand the context, you can figure out the lies. Not always, but it's the big picture you have to put together. The history, who has the nuclear weapons, the history of massive espionage networks and subversion. Look at what they are doing today. They're trying to put the Soviet Union back together again. So I was thinking, wow, does that actually generally mean for everyday life, with a controlled press, that that just everywhere, just stuff happens by coincidence, or there's a force majeure. And we, as regular people, we actually have no way in really understanding what's really being played here. And that actually only through proper and thorough work of historians afterwards, we can explain what we actually lived through. And I was just blown away that even now, in the age of internet, where there's so much information, people are actually able to hide big truths in plain sight because we just don't know the big picture. And even when we live through these things with alternative explanations, the Bitcoin doesn't drop, because if we never get to know an alternative explanation like you or other strategists provide. So, finally, I realized that if you control universities and the academia, you can ensure that this truth actually never gets out, even in an age of internet and information. And I was really shocked that, you know, opportunistic and career-focused academic behavior can have such a big consequence in even decades of prosperity. Because truth is not easy, right? It takes work and discipline. It's a lifestyle. So I basically got to the point where I thought, Jesus, I'm thinking back to what you've mentioned of the defending aristocracy, that lifestyle of a defending aristocracy that we're all missing. So that's basically my thought process that I had, and I was just wondering, you know, what you comment as an historian. Thank you.
Yeah, Thomas, you've put it together pretty well. What I would add to that is that, you know, I used to teach, you know, almost 40 years ago, I taught high school. And and they were, you know, U.S. history is 11th grade, so they're 16, 17-year-olds. And they would ask me, Mr. Nyquist, why do we have to learn this? Why do we have to learn this boring stuff? This doesn't matter. And I would explain to them, the first thing I would tell them is, well, they are lying to you on TV every day. And if you don't learn this, you will not be able to tell that they're lying to you. And my own journey, I realized when I got my degree from the University of California, Irvine, in political science, they had taught me a bunch of theories. And I had been interested in history. I had mostly knew military history, but I really didn't know history. And I said, you know, I felt my ignorance. And I had read a book about Abraham Lincoln and about how he read and what he read. And I thought, I'm just too ignorant. So I went into a bookstore and I saw Herodotus, the first historian, born around 500 BC. And he wrote the histories. And it's written like a novel. I mean, he is such a good writer, and the translations now are just excellent. And I started with that. And it was like a revelation to me. And they were very charming stories about Egypt, about Persia, about Greece, about the ancient world. It was sort of an introduction to that world. And I just kept reading through ancient history. And then you sort of get an understanding about human nature from reading it. You know, the idea of original sin, the pagans had that idea, that man had an intrinsic badness in man that had to be combated. And the whole idea of government with checks and balances come from the ancients. It was Lycurgus, the founder of the Spartan political system, who created the idea of checks and balances like we have today. The Romans copied that. We took it from the Romans. The British used the system, mixed monarchy, as Polybius called it. So you have these traditions, and you have this wisdom coming from the understanding of human nature gotten from history. So then you kind of get to know how history works, so that when you get these conspiracy theories and you get these other things, mostly from people who've never read any real history, who don't have these understandings, you go, wait a minute, they're not quite getting it. And the thing that's really alarming about conservatives now is now we have a generation of conservatives or people right of center who don't have that ancient knowledge, who don't have the tradition, the political tradition embedded in them, both in Europe and in America. And so they are susceptible to their own form of totalitarianism, which what really alarms me about not only is conspiracy theory, not only does it make it's usable, exploitable by Beijing and Moscow, because their agents enter into the conspiracy theory movement, and they cause it to converge with the left, right? So then you have phenomena like people like Douglas MacGregor or General Flynn saying talking points coming from the Kremlin. They sound just like a Kremlin agent, or how a left winger sounded during the Vietnam War. Remember, they were defeatists who thought America was the problem, right? You get that from the libertarians. The libertarians were the first people, by the way, in the late 80s to go running to Moscow to give Gorbachev advice on how to liberalize. And they came back with these pro-Russian feelings. You had the Koch brothers. They had, even before that, you know, they were financiers of the libertarian right. They had got all kinds of business ventures in Moscow. So the Russians understood how to manipulate the right. You even have Lyndon LaRouche, who tried in 1971, working with the KGB, to form a right-wing Marxist political party in the United States, the U.S. Labor Party. People can go back and look up that. When that didn't work out, he moved. He made himself more disguised, and he created the LaRoucheite movement, which is very influential and uses conspiracy theory. The Russians understood this, because if this is all you have, you don't understand. You know, people ask me, what is your ideology? It's checks and balances. It's not an ideology. It's the ancient political science. Human nature is bad. You know, like Lord Acton said, power tends to corrupt. Political power corrupts absolutely. So what did the British system? They had the House of Lords, the House of Commons, and the monarchy. Each one had a veto on the other. Until 1911, they took the veto away from the House of Lords. So you had a system of checks and balances where the aristocracy checked the commons checked the aristocracy and the king, right? So nobody could run out of control, right? And that's the theory. It doesn't always work. And that's the American political system. Federalism was a check on the central government. You have the three branches of government. You know, the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive, and they each have their own separate powers, and the powers they don't have go to the states. So and it's the same thing. You live in the Federal Republic. Well, I think you're in Poland now, you were saying, but these countries also have divided. And so all of a sudden, if somebody like the Greens come along, like Baerbock, the foreign minister, she's one of the co-leaders of the Green Party in Germany. So she comes along and she says, we need to completely transform Germany, right? Well, to do that, you need a kind of power that checks and balances does not allow. Now, if Angela Merkel hadn't gone and done it all for them, right, because there was something wrong with her. So, this is what's really dangerous about the socialists and about the infiltration from Russia and China. They get into both parties, and they get them to do all kinds of stupid things that helps to concentrate more power, so that the central governments of these countries become, if they get to capture it, they can destroy the country, because then there's no check on anybody. You notice the socialists, they never talk about checks and balances, unless, of course, they're worried about, you know, being checked. They need to do their program, which is to transform society and humanity, to save the planet, to make everybody equal, right? To get rid of poverty and war. That, to have that, you need massive power. And so what we have is a movement that's out to break down the very system that allows freedom to exist, both in the U.S. and Europe, that has made the prosperity, it is the liberty and prosperity in the West, and the Western peoples, that has brought us science, that has brought us economic prosperity. You eliminate that, you eliminate the prosperity, and then the socialists think, oh, well, then we can say capitalism has failed, democracy has failed. Remember, Lenin, he was against both capitalism and democracy. He said democracy is the instrument of capital. The banks just control everything. They just have total control. So we have to wipe up. Now you hear people on the right talking about the banksters, and the banks are evil.
Yeah.
If you go back to the State and Revolution by Lenin, that's riddled throughout his whole text. They sound like Lenin. This is frightening to me because I know where this goes because we can look at Russian history, right? So this whole thing, people, the most fundamental understandings that are gotten from reading ancient history, which teaches where all of our institutions, political traditions, and even religion comes from, if we understand that, then we understand where we are, and we look around and we go, ah, who's playing this game that's going to break this down? It's going to destroy our prosperity and our liberty. Ah, we know where it's coming from now. Now, and you see, there's a famous saying that Stalin had for Hitler. Stalin called Hitler the icebreaker of the revolution. Hitler was a national socialist. Here was a version of socialism that used anti-Semitism and conspiracy theory to unite the left and the right. And Stalin looked at that and said, wow, that's ingenious. I can learn from that. I'd like this guy to come to power because I can make an alliance with him, and this nut is going to end up at war with Britain and France. And this is what Lenin was talking about. We have to start a second imperialist war because the communists believed the First World War was the first imperialist war. That's what Lenin called it. And if we have a second, that's what started the revolution. If we have a second imperialist war, we can get control of all of Europe. And he only got half. But that was the plan. And so the plan now is they couldn't get the Western countries to fight each other. So they used radical Islam to basically distract us while China and themselves built up. And now with this cutting off of the gas in Europe, what they're doing is they're trying to create revolutionary conditions in Germany, because that was Karl Marx's dream, after all, is to have a revolution in Germany where people turn against democracy and the capitalist system. And if they do that, then they know, the Bolsheviks know, even with the right-wing people who are pro-Moscow, not very many of them, but if they can get those numbers larger, they can get control. In Europe, they can break up NATO. And once NATO's gone, you know, Russia's willing to, they threaten Sweden, they threaten Finland, they threaten Ukraine, then invade Ukraine, they invaded Georgia. They will own Europe. They will dominate it. And it will be a miserable dispensation. It will be the collapse of European civilization for real. And so this is what people have to understand. But people don't, and they also don't understand the totalitarian mentality, what's new about it. The psychology of destruction. You know, because socialism, it causes mass murder. More people have been killed by socialism in the 20th century than the wars of the previous 1,000 years, maybe in all the wars in recorded history, because they killed 100 million people, according to some folks. And that's an enormous number of people. And they're not done. They've disguised themselves. And you have all these folks that come in, well, we can do business with that man, Khrushchev or Gorbachev or Mr. Putin or Mr. Xi in China. We can do business with them. No, this is a fatal mistake, because you're going to get into business with a psychopathic killer, mass murderer, whose urges to destroy. Marxism-Leninism was created by a malignant narcissist. Maybe Marx was even a psychopath in his behavior. His life story is interesting to read. It reads like the life of a criminal. He was an intellectual criminal. He had criminal instincts. He even said, there's nothing more glorious under heaven than the mind of a criminal. Marx once said that. And so Lenin made his revolution with criminals.
Hold on, Jeff. We got a break. Thomas, hold on. We'll wrap up this part of our conversation after the break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in
back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by Liberator Rocket Heaters. You want to be warm, cozy, and save money this winter? Check out the Liberator Rocket Heaters at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get back to your comments with Thomas, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button beneath every article or video.
All right. And do you have any more further comments for Thomas to respond to him, sir?
Oh, I think I talk too much, but, okay. But Thomas, did my answer make sense?
Yes, and it shares the same feeling frightened, maybe, when we talk to even other patriots. And I'm just like, running against a wall, now realizing what the last 2 years on Telegram, what they actually seeded. And now the messengers, like Benjamin Fulford, what he's writing, now I can see the double talk. Now I can see the line. And it actually makes me afraid. you really need to go to the core of freedom and prosperity and capitalism to defend this whole thing, I think.
Okay.
Thank you for your...
Thomas, thank you for your call. We always appreciate it. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, I guess, Mr. Nyquist. When were you... What years were you in higher education? Or you tried to get a PhD. Were you there before or after the breakup of the Soviet Union?
Oh, I went to get my PhD in 87, the fall of 87, I started on that.
Okay, and that's when you discovered that the upper levels were infiltrated by Marxists, correct?
Well, I'm sorry, fall of 86, because it was in March of 87 that I started a program of reading the defector literature in graduate school, and did a private tutoring with a Soviet dissident, who was a professor at the school.
Okay, but you discovered at that time, what was the word going around among them about what was going on in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe? I mean, behind closed doors that you could discern.
Well, it wasn't behind closed doors. There was a professor from the Soviet Union in our department. I'm not sure what school he was in, but he was in a lot of our seminars, and he was helping to arrange some of the professors to go to the Soviet Union at the time. And it was, of course, they were all excited about Gorbachev, because Gorbachev was going to liberalize. And these folks were, a lot of them were socialist in their convictions, in their political convictions. They believed socialism was scientific. They weren't, there were some communist professors. But you have to see that when political scientists develop an affection for socialism and believe that Karl Marx's project is worth studying, because they're basically have already adopted a materialist point of view where they think that the salvation of man is political, and their profession therefore is very important in working out man's salvation by understanding political mechanisms. The older people of the older generation, like Harry Eckstein, had tremendous learning and were smart enough to know some of the dangers and pitfalls. So they actually took in some conservative ideas along with their democratic socialism. So they weren't the worst of the bunch. The younger ones, who had completely bought into Marxism whole hog, and there was one of the older American ones who was a closet communist, really. They knew where they were going, and they were ruthless, and they would use dirty tactics. They could destroy people's careers. They could bully graduate students into following certain paths. And of course, they were taking over the university. The chancellor at the time was a very good conservative guy. But I remember this communist professor that I worked under. They were at a party, and he was bloviating. This younger professor was bloviating about the future, the bright socialist future. And he was the chancellor had quite a few to drink, and he said, "Oh, you just want to take us back to the Middle Ages then, huh?" was his comment, which was, of course, quite brilliant. But that's the kind of environment it was then, in the 80s.
John, hold on. Jeff, hold on. We're bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Yes, we do have Liberator rocket heaters in stock, ready for immediate shipment. Want to be warm and cozy and save money this coming winter? Check out the Liberator rocket heaters. I am the executive vice president of the company. We manufacture our wood-burning stoves with all American steel right there in beautiful Bourbon, Missouri, on Old Route 66. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His books for sale at amazon.com. And let's see if we have some callers on hold. John, do you have one final question before we move on here, sir?
Yes. What was the level of knowledge, or what was their opinion of what was actually going on in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union? Did any of them have any inside information or any kind of knowledge about what was actually going on between what was superficially seemed to be going on and what was actually going on? And at the time of the breakup in 91, what was their, what kind of opinion, what did they feel about it when the Soviet Union supposedly broke up? What was their reaction?
Well, look, a lot of socialists and leftists in the United States were not pro-Soviet, because they could see that that Stalinism and neo-Stalinism of the Brezhnev era, and they could see that the Soviet Union had not been a total success. They thought it was a noble experiment, but you know, because of certain bad people like Stalin, it didn't work out. And so the idea of a reformed Soviet Union was very exciting and alluring, because it was the idea that maybe the communism would be tried the right way, that Gorbachev would find the way. And at the same time, they realized, I think everybody realizes to some extent, that if the Soviet Union goes away, that the bad Soviet Union goes away, that then they are free to push Marxism domestically in the United States and to push more experiments in that direction, you know, to expand the welfare state, to pare back capitalism. And of course, it didn't quite work out immediately the way they wanted, because the thing that Gorbachev did, the plan, which was to collapse NATO by uniting Germany and having the left, basically the center left, take over Germany under Russian influence, didn't work out because of the way Helmut Kohl, the Chancellor of Germany, managed the process. The process didn't take 7 years, like the Soviet planners had said, and I was told this by a KGB guy who worked in the Kremlin. It didn't take 7 years. This banker who was restraining the process was assassinated. The KGB suspected the British did it, but they never knew who did it. That released the money to cause the unification of Germany to happen about 1 year after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And they had compromises in their network of agents. They had thousands, tens of thousands of agents in West Germany. And now East Germany was being united with it, with all of the communist structures in East Germany that were prepared, some of which were prepared for the transition. It really fell apart. And this is what went wrong. But in academia, among American intellectuals across the board, there was a kind of excitement. And when Georgi Arbatov came to UC Irvine, came to my school, spoke at our colloquium in December 1988, that was almost a year before the Berlin Wall fell, he said, we have a strategy. We're taking away the image of the enemy. You know, to have a great empire, you must have an evil empire to oppose, and we're going to take that away from you. And he received applause. I mean, they were all very happy to hear this. And Gorbachev was supposedly going to destroy 10,000 tanks. We know now a lot of those tanks are fighting in Ukraine. They're pulling them out of mothball. Gorbachev didn't destroy them. He put them behind the Urals in mothballs, and they've been taken out. So there were a lot of things that were done back then that people didn't understand. They didn't really understand the strategy. And that's the problem with, there were people in academia, Marxists, who did understand Marxism, who were the real Marxist-Leninists. But for the most part, even many academics who studied Marx and Marxism in the Soviet system did not really understand the spirit that animated Lenin and Marx and those people. So they could not understand where it was really going and why it had been so tragic in what it did. And as a consequence, this is the problem. Very educated people can misunderstand. And as you got younger and younger people with less, with how would I put it, with the intellectual decline that was happening, they had less historical knowledge and less philosophical knowledge coming into the academy. They were more susceptible to the manipulation that Marxism is, where there's this promise that we're going to have a new society and we're going to get rid of all the imperfections in capitalist liberal society. Well, it turns out you can't get rid of the perfections in any society. And the reality is we have made a system of checks and balances because of those imperfections, and nothing here is perfect. It's not going to be. It can't be. This is as good as it gets. Basically, if you study history, you see that we have it the best of all. But now that's going to be torn down for this experiment, as happened in other countries. And that's the disaster that is approaching us, because we have basically lost that. And so the Beijing and Moscow, they realize, they talk about Western decadence, but what they're really talking about is the breakdown of our traditions.
Okay, John, we do thank you for your call. We got other calls we need to get to. Jeff, before we get to our next caller, I got a text message from a friend of mine, Dr. Fred, a regular listener, medical doctor. He says the first 20 minutes of the show was the best synopsis of communism he's ever heard. I think that's quite a compliment. Our next caller is Happy Moose in Canada. Good morning, Happy Moose.
Hi, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Okay.
Excellent. I would like to introduce you and a young student in university whose work is actually taking them down the very same path that you're already on. And I was wondering what would be the best way to make that introduction, via email or telephone. Could you guide us, please?
Email me and email me multiple times if I miss it, because I am so flooded. I don't know who did this to me, but everybody wants to send me, all kinds of people are sending me things. Instead of writing me a letter, they just start to pile on me, so I can miss in among the haystack of advertisements and things people want me to read that I don't have time to read. I could literally read my email. I spent 3.5 hours of the weekend trying to find an email a friend sent me, and I couldn't find it. And I knew approximately within the 10-day period it was sent. I just couldn't find it. Don't know. So email me a couple times. If you can, this is a college student?
Yes, correct. So your email, is it, it's on your website then?
Yeah, jrnyquist@aol.com, jrnyquist@aol.com.
Okay, excellent.
And, if I see something that looks like someone's just sending me another ad or a joke or something else, or an advertisement, I don't even open it. I don't have time. It literally, I've got 50,000 of these things backed up but if it's written to me personally, I want to read it. There's very few of those. If people only used email to send notes to people, personal notes, instead of just dumping things, just forwarding things to them that they didn't write, it would be, That is the way that things ought to be. That's the ideal. It's like in the mail, like getting junk mail.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Happy Moose, thank you
so
for your call.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Our next caller is Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Jeff and John. Jeff, I got a kind of a two-part question here. I agree with the other guy that texted John. That's probably one of the best definitions of communism I've ever heard. It leads me into a thought here. And listening to you talk about the right and the left, it seems that we are being put, the people of this country are the ones that are being caught in the middle, and they are also the object of the deception either way. But I think that the bulk of the people that have a love of freedom are being put into the position whether you will either submit to a tyrannical communist socialist type government or you're going to have a civil war. It seems that they're not giving anyone much of a choice. And then I'd like your comment on that, but I also was doing some research on the Ukraine war, and now we've got Hillary Clinton coming out and saying, Ukraine's on the offensive. We've got to start pouring all of these more ammo and more ammunition and more help to them. Anytime she starts saying anything like that, that makes the red flags start going off like flares. And I was doing some research myself on this, and from the best I can tell, only about 30% of what we are sending actually that is getting there is actually not being destroyed by the Russians once it's in Ukraine, or that actually is getting there. And the Russians have not attacked any American plane or, type that's flying or other convoys that are American going in there until they're on Ukrainian soil. And my thought is that the reason they're trying to increase the amount of armaments and things going to Ukraine is to try to provoke an incident that will drag and then blame Russia for it, to be able to drag us full scale into this war before the election. So I'd like your comment on both of those things, if you don't mind, sir.
I'm a little lost. What was the first thing again?
The people that love freedom are being dragged into
a civil war,
whether we like it or not.
Well, look, there's a KGB colonel named Igor Panarin, and since the late 90s, he's been talking about a civil war in America and how it might work. And this is sort of something the Russians and the Chinese both would want to see. And there is a, I call it a scissors strategy. They call it a dialectic, in which you find a political divide in America, like the left-right divide, or what you'd call the Biden administration versus MAGA. And you make sure that your agents of influence have infiltrated both sides. And then this is a strategy, use both sides to exacerbate the disagreements and to bring them into a conflict in a way where you can manage the conflict and use it and exploit it to your benefit. To also destroy anybody in the political process from both sides who happens to not fall in line with what your agents are doing. So that somebody like me, for example, if I were to participate in politics, I would get destroyed by my own side from the blade that's coming from the right, because I would be considered on the right. So that way I wouldn't even be part of the process, because I might interfere with the process of the way they want to develop the conflict. The idea that Biden, the way you framed the second question, which is about, you frame it as if somebody in the West, the Western people, the Western governments want a war with Russia. That's completely false. Who in their right mind wants a war with Russia? Nobody. But you're evidently pointing to a sinister Western elite who are rubbing their little hands, banksters who are rubbing their little hands wanting a war. This is part of a legend, part of a conspiracy theory, part of a very old idea that is full of, it's been repeated over in history, full of false historical, there's the claim that the Rothschilds bankers had invested at the Battle of Waterloo and they were going to make all this money, right? And so you have these false stories that people absolutely believe and get reported about how bankers make money off wars and wars are started by bankers. It's simply not true if you study the history of war. It just isn't true.
But
most wars are much more complicated than that. There's a lot of different factors. But what's happening here is it's possible that the Russians would like an excuse for a widened war, but I don't think so, because they aren't apparently ready. They could start a widened war anytime they want. They are waiting for their cutting off of gas to Europe, to Germany in particular, to create revolutionary conditions, to change, to create a disruptions in NATO that will break down NATO and allow them to defeat Ukraine with Ukraine's rear disintegrated. This story about, this idea that we are trying to, our government's trying to provoke it, it's possible, it's a possible strategy. Look, Biden came into power because he was a senator who got in the Senate, was initially supported by Armin Hammer and the Council for a Livable World, a communist front. Just like Al Gore Sr. and Al Gore Jr. were supported by Armin Hammer was a KGB agent. You can trace Trevor Loudon has done this. You can trace some of these politicians like the Clintons and Obama back to their Marxist progenitors, right? So So the problem is you've got this network of subversion in the West. You've got agents. They infiltrated the Roosevelt White House. As soon as we recognized Russia, those embassies and consulates in the United States, those Soviet ones, became nests of spies for infiltrating the U.S. government. That's their main target. They also infiltrate churches and local communities and universities, but the government, they want to influence policy. It's not just spying. They're agents of influence. So it's possible they would want that, but they would, if they wanted that, they would have already had it. They wanted a widened war.
We have our last break. Kyle, thank you for your call. And we got one more call, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Fix bayonets.
Leave Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many men have gone.
All right, we are back. We are back. Jeff, our next caller is Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, I'll try to be quick here. I just wondered what you think of the book called Mayday. It was not by that guy 1986 or something, the Fetchelos that I was talking about yesterday. It almost sounds like he wants Khrushchev to look like a good guy, that we didn't do well. We didn't treat him right. Anyway, another thing, too.
Let's see if Jeff respond. Okay. What do you think of that book, Jeff?
Mayday, it's called?
Yeah.
I don't know the book. Okay. I haven't read it.
Jeff doesn't know the book. Do you have another question or comment?
The subtitle was Eisenhower, Khrushchev, and the U2 Affair.
Okay. I've read a little bit of the book.
Yeah. Okay. But I wanted to tell people that want to know, I used to go to something called the Free Republic. It's coming from Sacramento, California. And thing I found lately, now I don't know where I found it. I wrote it down for myself, but I can't tell you where I found it. Anyway, they listed two pages worth of publications that they took things from, but they had to because they got sued by the fake media, and so they can only use what's already been published. It's open to the public, you know, because they don't want to be sued. But that was where I used to go on the computer. I remember 3,000 people coming against that dude who was running everything from Nevada over there, whatever his name was. When they put the place out in front of the Capitol where everybody could go in and rest a minute from the heat, and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad they did that. I'm so tired of smelling those bodies." Man, 3,000 people in Free Republic said, "He's got to go. He's awful." So I just thought I'd tell y'all that. Go to Free Republic if you can find it. Everything's disappeared pretty quick. But I don't recommend all the people there. Like, there's two of them, two organizations that want to get rid of it. They want a constitutional convention. It's Tax Limitation Committee and American Taxpayer Union or something like that. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of, you can find one that'll list a bunch of more of them and you start looking.
Yeah, any attempt to get rid of the Constitution is highly dangerous because the people that would likely write your new Constitution would be not to be trusted, you know.
Yeah, we don't need a new constitution.
It's still out there. You can find the new state's constitution. You don't even get a trial by jury on that.
Okay, Pat, thank you for your call. Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, clean your essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please do a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful county of Crawford, Missouri, my large, beautiful state of Missouri, the large, beautiful, productive state of Texas. And please, Lord, bless the United States of America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.